Good morning to everyone in the Diocese of Orange and everywhere in Southern California. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. We're coming to you through the good graces of Immaculate Heart Radio today from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick of St. Joseph Radio, and with me today is Debbie Vallis, Senior Administrator at Christ Cathedral Academy. Welcome, Debbie.
Well, welcome to you, too. Thank you.
Now, my understanding is that a Senior Administrator is essentially similar to being Principal.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So we basically have here with us the Principal of Christ Cathedral Academy. Thank you for coming in. Before we begin and go anywhere else, let's begin with a word of prayer. Would you be so kind?
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We give you praise for an even greater sign of new life, the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we especially celebrate at this time. May we all grow in love and peace during this season and throughout the year. Amen.
Amen. Debbie, what I'd like to do today is to talk a little bit throughout our show about different aspects of Catholic education, because we're coming now into spring, and this is the time traditionally where families that are thinking about the possibility of a Catholic education really need to look into that possibility, because we've got registration and signups that are all underway right now in most parts. Is that true also in the Diocese of Orange?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we start the process at our open house, which is the beginning of Catholic Schools Week, which is always the end of January. And at that time, we do start our heightened search for those students and the welcoming of all of our new families that are coming to the schools who are seeking a Catholic education.
So January, does that mean we're now too late and people need not apply?
Oh, no, not at all. All of our schools do have open enrollments throughout the year, but especially during the Catholic Schools Week time that we celebrate with the NCEA across the nation. And it's then that we really place emphasis on our schools and the celebration of all the component parts that go along with that as we celebrate the community, the students, the staff, the faculty, the parishes that we are in. So it's a great time for us to start marketing our schools and to really put our names out there and the things that we offer at our schools so that we can attract the new families in to come and take a look. And we're sure once they take a look at our schools, then they will certainly apply.
I'd like to get into a little bit more of that and the process that that would involve in a little bit. Before we go forward, you and I were having a conversation before the radio show began, and I was shocked at how involved you've been with Catholic education. Tell me just a little bit about your background.
Well, I am myself a product of Catholic education, having gone through elementary years as well as high school. I attended St. Mary's Academy in Inglewood, so I am a lifelong product of that. I continued on in my education and always a faithful servant of our Lord. And so it's been a wonderful journey for me, and certainly a journey that not only I have loved, but I have embraced as well. And of course, with all the challenges of life, we look toward that meaning in our life that gives us hope and purpose. So with my background, going from Catholic education into the ministry of Catholic education, I have been at several schools within the Diocese of Orange.
Okay, going to say, you mentioned that you've been name a couple of those schools, because there are some people who are going to know you from those schools.
Well, I started my career as principal at St. Angela Merici, which is in Brea. From there, I became the founding principal of St. Francis of Assisi in Yorba Linda. From there, I then went to La Purissima Catholic School in the city of Orange, and now I am here at Christ Cathedral Academy.
Okay, so you've got quite the background in Catholic education. We're going to talk a little bit. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, and that could be a danger. I'm a former principal myself, but not with the background that you've got. And I want to make sure that we don't go too far into technical jargon and a lot of this stuff. Let me ask you, though, a couple of questions about how your educational background has affected you personally. You have children as well.
Yes.
Have they gone through Catholic education?
Yes, they are also products of Catholic education. My daughter went to Rosary High School in Fullerton, and my son attended Servite High School in Anaheim.
Now, about a week ago, we had an instructor from Servite on, and I know it's a purely boys' school. Rosary is a purely girls' school.
All girls.
We had a discussion a little bit because he and I both have served in other high schools that were co-ed. Just kind of curious as to your take on single-sex education versus co-educational places like modern day. What are the advantages and disadvantages to that?
Well, I don't think there's really any advantages or disadvantages to it. I think it depends on the personality of the student, of your child. Because some kids work very well in a single-sex, you know, school, an all-girls school, and some are definitely all-boys. My son loved being at Servite High School because it was a brotherhood, and my daughter loved Rosary High School for the same reason in terms of being a sisterhood. But there are certainly many students, of course, who wanted the co-ed, you know, education. So it really doesn't depend on the system itself. It really does model the student's personality. And they feel comfortable once they walk on the campus, whether that's the place for them or not.
How did that work out for your children?
Oh, excellent. They love the campuses that they were on, and they thrived there. And I had friends who, one who had two daughters, 2 years apart. One went to Rosary High School. The other one went to Modern Day. Both of them flourished because it was their personality, and it really did help them to develop, you know, individually. And so it was a great opportunity for them.
Now, Rosary is a fairly small school.
Yes.
I think it's smaller than Servite is as well.
Yes.
Both of them are quite a bit smaller than Modern Day. Do you see a major difference, especially since your kids went through these smaller high schools, versus what the opportunities may have been at a bigger school, or were the opportunities in some way enhanced by having a smaller school environment?
Well, I found that in the smaller schools, they certainly offered all the programs that were there. You don't get the dynamics of the larger school because there are so many students, 2,500 in some cases. They do have to offer many opportunities because they will have more students that have diverse backgrounds from all over. So it's important that they offer the programs that will fit all of those different needs. So already that pool of children that you're addressing and what their needs are going to be greater. But in the smaller environment, they do an excellent job providing everything that the students need to grow and be nurtured and be ready for college.
So your kids went to Rosary and to Servite.
Yes.
Can I ask why you chose those two instead of, say, Modern Day?
Well, it did depend on my children and what they wanted and where they felt most comfortable at. And they did attend the open houses that the high schools have. They were there in the Catholic, obviously, elementary schools where they come to us. So after the visits of going there and them coming to our schools, they just felt that Rosary was a good fit for themselves and my son at Servite. And so I certainly agreed with that. And off they went.
And it served them well. Now, you have personally been involved with Catholic education for a number of years. We were discussing about how you must have started when you were age 5 as an instructor. The effects that it's had on your life to be involved with Catholic education as a ministry, what has that meant for you personally?
I think all of us in our daily lives struggle in one way or another with many challenges because that's just the way life is. That's the human condition, as we call it. But the faith dimension, that spiritual development that we gain in coming from our Catholic schools and moving into the ministry then of Catholic education is just another continuing path on the journey. And for me, it has been very, very powerful. Like I said, we're all challenged in some way or another. But when you have hope, when you can rely on our Lord Jesus Christ to be there to walk with you on the journey, you will always have hope in everything that you do. And in this challenging world, hope is so essential and critical to who we are as the human beings that we are, wounded and needy and needing consolation and help and prayer in our lives. And so it nurtures us. It gives us what we don't have in our lives, and it feeds our souls. And for me, it has done just that. And that's why I continue to be a faithful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe the journey that I go on is the true, authentic journey. And I feel very blessed to be part of it. And I'm grateful every day that I go to school in my journey.
So your experience personally, your career experience, has really been an experience in formation and what we sometimes will call vocation.
Yes.
In the formation of your life as a Catholic.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And I think when we begin our journey in our younger years, we have different priorities in life, but we stay on the journey. And if we're faithful servants, the journey begins to grow more and more. And we find that the more we have in terms of being nourished, it allows us to give more of ourselves in what we do. We can't give what we do not have, what we do not possess. So the more we become that nurturing person to be loved and to be cared for and to have more faith development, we then turn around and give that to others.
I found, and I don't want to dwell on my experience, but I found the one thing that I don't regret about moving from being a principal to doing what I'm doing now is the paperwork, is the administrative, some of the administrative drudgery, and the all-impressive WCEA WASC process.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I'm talking about there.
I absolutely do.
Did you ever find a way to put a positive spin on that?
Well, you know, I do with my staff. I do with my staff. As grueling as it can be with all of the benchmarks that you have to meet and all the things you have to do and write and assess, the beauty of all that is that you do come out of that with a heightened sense of community, of building something together, and that opportunity to grow and to grow in God's goodness.
The process that we were just talking about, WCEA WASC, is actually an accreditation process. And it's kind of our report card, but it also is to affirm where we are and where we need to go. So
yes.
It's a very good process to do. When we come back, what I'd like to do is shift gears just a little bit. And thank you so much for the last few minutes talking about your background and your experience with this as a ministry. I want to talk a little bit more about what I think some of our parents are going to be interested in, and that's the nuts and bolts of what Catholic education is all about. And you are listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We're back on Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Debbie Vallis, who is Senior Administrator, translation principal, at Christ Cathedral Academy. And I want to ask you a little bit about that. You really aren't the titled principal. You are the Senior Administrator, and there's a couple of different administrators at this school, this academy. How does that work?
Well, for this year, the title that we are using for this year is the Senior Administrator and Site Administrator. So there are two of us that are the administration team, as well as three other people that are involved in the process. But the two of us are the ones that administer to the school.
Okay. And you're the senior administrator
yes.
on that.
So I oversee the entire campus and all of the decisions that are made.
Okay. So let's talk for a little bit about if I were a parent and I were bringing my child into the academy here at Christ Cathedral, what would I be getting myself into? What is it to become part of the academy here?
Well, the academy is a great journey that you can be on in Catholic education. Our parents, the new ones that come to us, are looking for the opportunity to at least view and see what it's all about. So we start with a tour. We, of course, provide them with the information all about the school, but there's nothing like taking a personal tour throughout the school. And we do that by taking them into the classrooms, talking along the way, allowing them to ask different questions, grade levels that their children are going to be in, so that we make sure we cover everything. But not just going into the classrooms, but also taking them all over to the campus in terms of where their children are going to be participating in the life of the school.
Okay. So they're going to have their tour, and they're
yes.
going to be given some basic information.
Yeah.
Once they get started, what's it like for a child to go through the curriculum at Christ Academy?
It's a very positive and loving environment. Our teachers are so well equipped with education and with the nurturing personalities to be there with the children. They love what they do. And they can go to any public school and make more money, but they're there because they love what they do and they want to be a witness to the faith and in Catholic education. And so that's a good mix to have teachers who really love where they are. So our children are very loved and very nurtured. We do have an interactive technology program, one-on-one on computing. Our world now is so small that we can connect onto the internet and be anywhere that we want. Our kids can take the journey anywhere in terms of education or spiritual formation to see what is out there in the world and how best to serve and meet the needs of the world and to meet the needs of the students. There are also many different programs at the school. It's not just about the academics, because all of our schools teach wonderful academics. We are all hallmarks, and we hold our academic excellence up in front of who we are. But the spiritual formation, of course, is where we set ourselves apart. So the students that come to us and who remain with us and go on the journey for 8 years or even 10 years if they start in the preschool is going to be nurtured as a total child, not only the emotional part of it and the academic part of it and the social part of it, but most importantly, the spiritual part of it and socially as well.
You mentioned up to 10 years. Your school at the academy goes up through 8th grade?
We start with the 2-year-olds.
2-year-olds?
Yes, 2, 3, and 4-year-olds
so
is our preschool.
People who are listening who are in North or Central Orange County, we're talking 2-year-olds
that
are able to come in here.
And
wow.
We potty train.
And you potty train.
We potty train.
Oh,
yes.
That's worth it.
And we are the only school in the diocese who has a 2-year-old program, and
wow.
We do potty train. So our preschool of 2, 3, and 4-year-olds are 90 kids strong.
So this is an actual preschool, not a pre-K
yes.
program.
No, not a
or
pre-K.
A TK program.
We are actually a preschool on our site, on our campus, in a beautiful facility.
So it has to have its separations somewhere.
Yes.
What? Okay.
Yes, we do. But we have multiple classrooms. We have a separate playground. We have equipment. We have qualified teachers. We have a director of the program. And we have just unimaginable parent support. It's an amazing place to nurture your child and help the parents to partner with them in the education of their children. And it's developmental, which is what they need to do at that age. They need to play and to do all of those things before they hit kindergarten.
Is it a full-day program, a half-day program, a hybrid program?
Most of our parents choose full-day programs, but we do have different opportunities for them to have different scheduling, flexible scheduling.
Okay.
And that's why it's very popular, and we always have a full program. And growing, as a matter of fact, we can take up to 100 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds in our program. And we're almost there at about 91, I believe we are now. And we will, by September, I'm sure, hit 100. And the only reason why we're not right now is because we're hiring one more teacher.
Okay.
Who will then bring us to that point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this would be a program that is filling up fast.
Yes.
So it's one of the programs that if you've got a child that is, you've just had a newborn, it's time to start looking now into the program. So a year from now when they're one, they can start getting the information about how to register at age 2.
Yeah, we do get them kind of young. The interest does start young. But, you know, we're always taking them anytime that we can. But if you have a serious interest, please come by. We'd love to give you the tour and let you see our preschool because it really is quite an amazing place.
Let's talk about kindergarten. Kindergarten starts about age 5. So I take it a sizable number are fed in from your preschool program.
Yes.
About what percentage is still open, though, by the time you've got your people that move in from preschool?
Well, this year, for example, we took in from our preschool, and we didn't fill the 2 kindergarten classrooms, so we do have room in those classrooms.
You've got 2 kindergarten classes.
Right now, we have 2 first-grade classrooms, and then next year, they will begin to move up, and so we will have second-grade double
so
down.
So the plan, the long-range plan, is to have a dual class program all the way up through.
Yes, 2 classrooms per grade level.
Okay.
We have no doubt it'll take us, as a new school, of course, this is only our 3rd year, and we're already up to 225 kids in the K-8 program and then 90 kids in the preschool.
Wow. So let me go back for a minute. Originally, this school sort of inherited students from another Catholic school nearby. Tell me a little bit about that background, because I'm not entirely clear on that.
Well, actually, we used to be St. Callistus Catholic Elementary School. So we migrated over here.
How
to
far
Christ
away
Cathedral.
Was that campus?
Oh, just a few blocks away from here.
So that was why Callistus, as I recall, there was some sort of an arrangement where some of the facility that was, some of the people that operated in this facility went there, yes, and we were able to move in here.
Yes, that's kind of absolutely, yeah, absolutely correct. So that's why we call it the migration,
okay,
because those students at St. Calistus were offered the opportunity first to come to Christ Cathedral.
Better than calling it the Exodus, where you go across the Jordan, you actually went across Chapman, but okay.
That's right. Yes.
Okay, so you have a sizable program in the younger grades, but the upper grades are...
Some of our upper grades are 27.
Okay.
Single classrooms, though.
Wow. Yeah, but that's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
No, so if you've got upper grade kids and you're in public education, it's still feasible for you to be thinking as well about a transfer.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're taking in a couple of international students that we do bring in as well, who are interested. And then in addition to that, we have several students that are going to be going into all of our middle grades, 5 through 8.
Do you take kids all the way up into 8th grade? Because I know there are some schools and other dioceses where they have a rule about not taking into 8th grade.
Yes, it's traditionally up to and includes the 7th grade, because it's very difficult to try to acclimate at that point into the 8th grade. The students come back into their 8th year already planning their retreat. They're well-grounded. They've had so much preparation for going into high school. It's difficult to transition in at that point. Not impossible.
We had a rule at our school that if there wasn't a pastoral reason, 8th grade was off limits. Yes. Pastoral could include we live right next to March Air Force Base.
Yes.
Some family transferred in, they were already in a Catholic school, then they could come in. Yeah.
And we do. We do reciprocal transfers in. If they're coming from another Catholic school, yes, we do accept them into the Catholic school.
But
in
if they've
grade.
Just been on the fence and have been thinking for a long time, by the time I get to 8th grade, it's a
very difficult.
Yeah. Well, and it's also hard because that year is a very intense year of identity formation within that class.
Yes.
And they're thinking about what their whole experience was.
Yes.
Which means I want to go back for a moment. So we kind of left off at the primary grades, and we were saying that kindergarten, first grade are double track.
Yes.
And then next year you said second grade will be double track?
Yes. We will have 2 second grades next year as they start to move up, each year, of course, growing.
So then 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th are all single track programs.
Yes.
What size are most of those classes? You said the lowest is in the upper 20s.
We have our 2 kindergarten classes are 14 each.
Oh, wow. Okay. Those are good-sized classes.
Yes. Parents love it.
Yeah.
And the teachers love it, too. And who wouldn't love that?
Yeah. No, that ratio is wonderful.
Yeah. We are adding.
Do you have any aides that are a part of that?
We do have one aide that works in the primary grades.
Okay. So it goes back and forth between the
yes.
two. Kind of rent a aide.
Right.
You have to reserve them out. Okay. And then as they continue to move up through, they have the standard then one class per grade. We probably should hold this over for the next segment, but I have to assume that creates a environment where everyone begins to know everybody else, even if they're not in your classroom.
Oh, yes. It's very community. We're very, very close-knit. And because the teachers are teachers of all children when they are there, they're also teachers of religion, every one of them. So everyone knows everyone that's there. And as they move from grade to grade, we're all one family. Our parents are very supportive. We know all the parents that are there. It's a wonderful environment.
Okay. When we come back, Debbie, what I want to do is ask you a little bit more about that environment, but I also want to ask you some curricular questions. There's a lot that's been said about things like Common Core and how horrible, awful, terrible, no good, very bad that is, which you and I can laugh a little bit about that because most people who talk about Common Core don't really understand the nuts and bolts of what it really is and isn't. But I'd like to talk about that. And if you don't mind, we'll kind of get into that a little bit. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Debbie Vallis, who is the Senior Administrator for Christ Cathedral Academy. And we'll be back. Back with Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope. For those of you who are familiar with the Garden Grove area, that's the one with the great big huge cross on top that can be seen forever from all over the Garden Grove area. And right next to us is the big Crystal Cathedral, Christ Cathedral, which is made of all the glass, which is why they originally named it Crystal Cathedral. And I'm here today talking with Debbie Vallis. And Debbie, the reason I bring up just that reference to the campus is because you're located on this campus, right within earshot of where we are here. You're just down a little bit and across a little tiny street, and then you're in this big building. On one side are the diocesan offices with the bishop and the Office of Catholic Schools, so your boss is right next door.
That's right.
And you're on the other side of the building.
Yes, we share the same building.
So if people would like to come across and take a look, people are here from time to time on the public part of the grounds, which is most of the grounds, mm-hmm. where they can walk around and take a look,
yes.
because people will come here as a tourist destination. But they're welcome to come. You mentioned earlier, they're welcome
yes.
to come for a tour. And if they would like to just see what the campus would be like for their children or their grandchildren, if they would like to have more information, how would they get that information? Do you have a phone number that they could contact?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And we are located right here on the parish grounds. So we are all part of the one large facility that is called Christ Cathedral Parish, and we are called Christ Cathedral Academy. So if they just come down to the campus, we are on the right side of the campus, and we are visibly seen. We're one of the buildings there, and we share the building with the Pastoral Center, and then we're right next to them with a common wall, Christ Cathedral Academy, and we're marked on the front of it. So we'd like to invite everyone to come down and be part, and to, of course, stop in. You can stop in, and we'll take you on a tour then, or you can give us a call, make an appointment, and we have many grandparents who come in for the tour. Many of our parents work these days, and so grandparents come, and we give them the $10 tour.
$10 tour is better than
yes.
what I used to give. I've not been on your campus. I've been on the other side, over to where the bishop's office is and where the other offices are. What's your campus like? It's basically a building campus.
Yes, it's several buildings that are here with a lot of grass area, beautiful memorial gardens that are here. There are beautiful statues that are reflective of Scripture. And the campus is all one campus. It's actually a beautiful piece of property that's here. And the buildings are all very beautiful. Some of them, the structure on them are incredible. Quite the masterpiece when you look at them.
There's one building here that was actually used as a backdrop for one of the Star Trek movies, as the Academy, as they get out of the Academy.
Yes.
I think it's the first one. But anyway,
yes.
of the new
yes.
Star Treks that came out.
Yes, and we have many tourists. I mean, we're used to tourists because we know that we are the seat of the Diocese of Orange, and the bishop is here. In fact, he occupies the fourth floor of the building that I am in. So we share floors, actually. We have a basement, which is the gym. You know, it's the flooring
okay.
there. And then the first floor, the second floor, we occupy. And above us on the third floor are the diocesan offices. And the fourth floor is the bishop. So we see the bishop quite often walking back and forth. And he stops in with his dogs. And he visits
yes.
the children. And we take pictures and we put it out on our website. So our children are quite familiar with the bishop. And it's quite a wonderful blessing.
When I'm over at Ryan Lilly Ungren's office, which I stop into from time to time, he's the director of communications and therefore runs the radio program too. I know if the bishop is in, if at his office, he's got a window there, if the dog is looking
yes.
out, I know the bishop is in.
Yes.
So you occupy then primarily those first couple of floors.
Yes, we are the bottom, the first and the second. So that's three floors for us.
And then I notice you've got like a veranda or a patio up on.
We have a mezzanine, a
okay.
beautiful mezzanine. That's where our children actually go out, the upper grade students go out there to have their recess and their snacks. We also are going to have an art show there. We can use the mezzanine
nice.
For really beautiful and wonderful activities. So the kids have access to that. The teachers are out there with them. And in addition to that, we also have the playground that is located in the back of the school.
Okay, so I can think of several science experiments like egg drop from the mezzanine, but
anyway,
we won't go there.
Our new thing is that we have hydroponic gardening.
Oh, very good.
So we are sustaining and, you know, growing plants and fruits and vegetables that our children actually eat.
Okay, which brings up a little bit of the curricular aspect. You know, I was talking for a moment about dropping egg drops. At the school where I used to teach, we had a very extensive science program. And so we did a lot of those kinds of things where you'd build what's the lightest contraption you can build that will save an egg from breaking apart on two floors down. What is your curriculum like in a Catholic school? And I want you to approach it from the perspective, if I were a product of public public education. And let's say that I have never been in Catholic education. I was perhaps raised marginally a Catholic, and now I'm very interested in my faith again, but I've never really been involved with Catholic education. What's the curriculum like? What is it? Is it similar to, is it exactly the same as, or is it different from the public school curriculum?
Well, I think in the core subjects, they are our subjects, the way we teach, would also resemble the public school. We're all teaching math and language arts blocks and social studies, science, PE. We're all teaching those in all of our schools. But what sets us apart, of course, is that we are teaching religion 5 days a week. And religion is not only just a curriculum subject, but it is a lived experience.
This is something that I remember trying to get my parents to understand. We have a formal religion class where we're going to go over formal education about what the Catholic Church teaches and believes and what that's important to understand. But it's also taught, in quotes, in every class.
Yes.
And it's an important backdrop to every subject. So
yes.
In math, it's in there. In science, it's in there. In all that we do, religion is an overshadowing experience for
yes.
all of the people. How does that play out at Christ Academy? You've been around the Diocese of Orange
yes.
in a number of locations. How does it play out here?
At the Academy, and it's quite like our other Catholic schools, we live the experience through everything that we do. We model the gospel. We discipline with the gospel. Everything, every core piece of what we do is always transcends itself into our faith. And that carries over in everything that we do. And so when we're teaching with our children, you know, we are teaching as Jesus did. Not only the parables, not only the scripture or the gospels, but we are actually serving each other and treating each other the way Jesus wants us to treat. And the beauty of that is that we can build that into the structure of their life. And that partnership that we have with parents, it makes all the difference when they're out in the real world, when they grow up and they need to be that, you know, citizen in the global world, that they will be compassionate members in society, that they will serve others, they will teach and preach the good news, and they will treat each other with respect and the respect of life and the dignity of life. And I think that's what we want for all of our children, whether we are in public school or in Catholic school. But the beauty of Catholic school is that we live that message every single day.
So if we're looking at the difference in curriculum, it's not so much a substantive difference in, say, mathematics or social studies. You're going to be using similar textbooks. You're going to be using similar materials that the public school is going to be using, but it's going to all be done through the lens of faith, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, yes.
So let me bring up an important topic that a lot of people are almost obsessed with sometimes, and it's the topic of Common Core. What function does that have in a Catholic school?
I know there's a misnomer about Catholic schools don't teach or use Common Core or standards, or the teachers are not credentialed, but that's not the case by any means. Our teachers are credentialed. In fact, they, in many times, have more requirements for their positions than they have in, let's say, their counterparts. But in terms of the Common Core and the standards, we do adhere to the Common Core and to the standards, the California state standards.
Now, there are many people who think Common Core is a bad thing mm-hmm. because it is going to dumb down the curriculum. What would be your response to that?
I think it strengthens the curriculum. The teachers are very much aware of the students that are coming to them, the teachers of what they're teaching, and what the teacher ahead of them that will be receiving their students. So there are benchmarks here that we all need to instruct our children in, and it's important that they follow that continuing curriculum because we are building on all of that as well.
But let me clarify then. Because you use the term curriculum, and the curriculum itself is decided by the school, not by any outside organization.
Correct.
But Common Core is a series of benchmarks.
Yes.
It's a series of people should reach this level by a certain stage. Mm. It's not a curriculum itself.
Yes.
And what your school has done has been to say, yeah, we can meet those standards. If there's any aligning, it would be to make sure that if by the end of third grade we've also taught this, then we'll make sure we we've also taught that. So if they go to Mississippi to a Catholic school there who's also aligned, then they're going to have had that experience.
Yes.
But as far as what is taught, that's determined by the diocese and by the school.
Yes.
Not any outside organization.
No, not at all.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Debbie Vallis, who is the Senior Administrator at Christ Cathedral Academy. That was a touchy subject to talk about. I'm glad we were able to get through it. In essence, then, what we're saying is that Common Core is just one more set of measures to make sure that we've measured up to, but we've already been doing a lot of those shifts in the first place. Amongst those shifts have been an emphasis in close reading of the text, an emphasis on working with nonfiction subjects so that we were better at working with that. Those kinds of things that Catholic schools have been doing forever anyway.
Yes.
You are listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and with me today is Debbie Vallis, and we'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus, are here to assist you and your family through this transition, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102.
And we're back. I'm Rick Howick, and you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Debbie Vallis, Senior Administrator for Christ Cathedral Academy. We were talking earlier that's like being in the principal's position. So we've been talking a lot about Christ Cathedral Academy, and I want to come back to that in general, or in specific, but in general, one of the things that I know that has been an important battle that has been waged by a number of different dioceses is the perception by some groups of people. Some of them are just generally poorer people who don't think that Catholic education is within their range or their ability to afford. But also within certain cultural groups that may have migrated into the United States from areas where private education, which Catholic education and private education aren't quite the same animal, but their experience has been that Catholic education is not for them because it's for the elite. And I know that in the Diocese of Orange, there are a number of programs that have come out. There is a consortium of schools down in Santa Ana, and I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but I know that they have pulled some of their resources together, and they've tried to focus on a Madrinas program where they reach out to the Hispanic community specifically within that area in order to have people understand that this is for them as well. In your experience, especially here at the Academy, what would you say to a family that is thinking, I don't know if I can afford this? How much importance should they be placing on that financial aspect of sending their children to Catholic schools?
First of all, let me say that the support in the Diocese of Orange is amazing because there are several groups, and I call them groups, but they're really established, in which they help to serve those who desire a Catholic education. And so there are wonderful people within the Diocese of Orange that give quite a bit to funding tuition assistance programs. The Orange Catholic Foundation is a great example of that, and I share with you about that because in every school that I have been to, they have been there to supply that school with tuition assistance for families who would not be able to attend the school if it was not for their generosity and for the benefactors that put money into their program in order to do that into their foundation. So we're one of the recipients. Like I said, I've been at several schools, and in every one of those schools, that has been the case. Parents, I hope that parents will hear the message that a Catholic school is affordable if you desire a Catholic education, it is not just for the elite. In fact, it is quite the opposite. We are here is to share the gospel message with all. And that means that we embrace all diversity in all aspects of life. And that includes those that are marginalized. It includes the poor, the needy. And we are there to help them in their desire to have a child have a Catholic education. You know, I do want to encourage families to please, you know, any school, any Catholic school within your area that you choose to attend, please seek them out and to take the tour and to sit down and ask them about financial assistance, because it is there. And we have criterias, you know, to meet. And the criteria just really involves the need that you have and how we can best help you and serve you and provide for you the things that you need to attend the Catholic school, not only in tuition, but, you know, anything else that we can do to help you.
I come from a different diocese, and that particular diocese didn't have as much, as robust a financial support for their schools. So it fell a lot on the individual schools and what they were able to do. And I know that it was therefore difficult for a number of families to be able to come up with enough money to be able to attend. One of the things I've learned about the Diocese of Orange has been that it really is a robust program, but it is needs-based. So
yes, it is.
The parent coming in would have to show, and it's not that they're showing poverty so much, is that they're showing that they have financial obligations that make it difficult for them to afford a Catholic education. And that can be for a number of reasons that they have those financial difficulties. But the essence is that the foundation is looking at, and the school is looking at, what are the means that genuinely can be used from a combination of sources, including the family, to be able to make this affordable.
Yes.
I used to say when I was talking to parents that you're not paying us tuition as if this is a product. You're giving us enough money to empower us to provide the education. So however we get that money is what's from some
well
people
said.
It's directly from you.
Well,
from
said.
Others it's from the business down the block, but it's
yeah.
How do we all partner together to make this ministry happen?
That's right.
I have a related question then. You've been doing this for quite some time, and as I said, I think you started teaching when you were five or so. Do you have any success stories of people that have come through that you've gotten to know where Catholic education really made a difference in their lives?
Yes. You know, so often we don't see it at the time when our children are young and going through the Catholic schools. But, you know, we see those glimpses. I call them the little kisses from heaven that come to us, because when they're alumni of the school and they may come and they may visit, or we hear from their parents who come back to share us the story of their children where it really did change their lives. I have a young man right now that he is our gate supervisor, we call him. He is an alumni of St. Callista School, a wonderful, wonderful young man. And so we put out there that we needed someone to help us to supervise our back gate, because there's a lot of traffic going in and out. And of course, there's a lot of tourists here as well. And we wanted to secure our gate as the children were entering or leaving in the afternoons. And so we put out the bulletin. And so he came forward and he said, "I want to be your gate supervisor." And we said, "Well, we can't pay you a lot, but we certainly have a, you know, compensation for you." And he said, "I just want to be here to give back." He said, "Because this school changed my life, and it's who I am today. The result of who I am today is because of the education that I had here, and I just want to give back." So he's here right now. Every day he comes, a faithful servant to the church, an alumni of St. Callistus. He knows the teachers, and they're still here teaching.
Is he the one I see out there with the little orange cones
at 3
o'clock?
He's the one with the beanie sometimes on.
I think I've seen this young man.
He is a great young man, and we are so happy and pleased, you know, to have him be with us. And there are other stories, you know, of course, I can share with you where, you know, students that, you know, were maybe struggling academically, who work so hard. And these students, you know, they had challenges along the way, but they had the lion's heart. And at the Catholic school, we can help them, you know, with their journey. And so we look at that lion's heart and says, as long as he's trying and he's doing his best, you know, we can help those students. And so we've had some graduate and never knowing, you know, what would happen, you know, after that. But they come back to us and say, thank you for loving us so much and for, you know, caring and for helping me, giving me, you know, homework help or whatever it was. And it was because of the love and the nurturing that they felt at the school that they then took that out there to others. And they took that lion's heart and continued to try hard and to do well. And they're quite success stories now. Some of them come back and say, well, you know, now I'm a teacher because of the teachers that taught me. Or I'm, you know, a doctor or a social worker, you know, because I felt that compassion and I wanted to help. And on the other side of that, I think what's so beautiful is that Catholic schools promote vocation. And we've had students who leave our walls and then we find that they've gone into the seminary or they've gone into the convent, you know, into a religious order because they have felt that they've been touched and been called by God to serve. And that wouldn't happen unless they were exposed in the Catholic school or within the parishes, that they could see that and experience that and look at that as an option for them. And then, of course, to just wait and let our Lord work within you and to be open to the call. So those are the kinds of things that we don't see at the time when they're going through our, you know, our hallowed doors, but we certainly see that in the messages that come back to us through parents and through the students who love to come back and actually share their success stories.
One of the great pleasures I had when I was a principal was watching the eighth grade class. And I was at the last school long enough to have seen this eighth grade class start as, at kindergarten.
Oh, all the way through.
And so to see them come through and to see the ones that had struggled and to see yet how much pride they then have of the school that they're in. Yeah. And knowing that the people that made it possible, they've learned along the way that the teachers don't make as much as the ones in Catholic school. And yet they've got master's degrees and they've got their credentials and they could go anywhere, but they choose to stay there. And it really has its effect on them. So when they're ready to graduate, they've got this sense of, I belong to this school forever.
Yes.
I found that that was one of the most rewarding parts of it, of having gone through as an educator myself.
And I know there's one thing that I think about, you know, when I look at the Catholic schools throughout our diocese. I have the privilege of being, you know, within the different schools. And I tell you what I say is that Catholic schools are where heaven and earth meet, because we are here on this earth to serve. And as products of Catholic education, we hope that they go out and that they serve others. And we are called to preach the gospel. And it's our way of heaven coming down on us to touch us in that moment where we can be both in faith and in the reality of the world and where those things meet together to move forward and to be responsible and global citizens and those that are nurturing and loving as well. So it's a whole just melting pot that is so good.
If people would like more information about a Catholic school near them, they can get a hold of that information either by calling the Diocese of Orange or by going to the website for the Diocese of Orange, which is www.rcbo, Roman Catholic Bishop of Orange, rcbo.org. And if they're interested in your particular school, that phone number again would be
714
area code
663-2330.
That's easy.
And our website is christcathedral.academy.
I want to say thank you very, very much, Debbie, for coming in. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And until next week, may God richly bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening.